Wow, this is peppy, isn't it? Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Today's show will be peppy. If it's anything like the music you're hearing right now, expect a lot of pep out of today's show.
I got no pep.
Where's your pop?
Actually, I have, you know what I have, Bill? Another neighborhood watch thing that I did last night.
Now, for people who don't know, Wendy, in an endless effort to help her community, is now reporting anyone who does anything even slightly sideways to her local authorities. And good for you.
Well, someone
has to
do
it. You got to take action. You got to take action.
It started with the LaGrange Pet Parade. I saw a suspicious backpack that was wide open with electronics in it, and it was buzzing.
Yep.
So I told a police officer about it, and they're like, yeah, there's a survey team, you know, around here. And I said, could someone please just check? Just, you know, we got a big parade in town.
Yeah.
It turned out to be the survey crew stuff. But I just, you know, you see something, you say something.
You know who you remind me of is...
Gladys Kravitz. Which, may I just say the part of the story when I went over to talk about the dog that was in a car, in a hot car?
Yeah.
I said, I feel kind of like Gladys Kravitz, and I look into the car and I hear crickets because they're like 25
years
old.
Sure.
And I'm like, there's a dog in the car, and they're like, okay, we'll watch it. Thank you.
Yeah. You remind me, you're across, you're right on the 50-yard line of Gladys Kravitz, and then like Jack
Lenny
Bauer.
Kravitz?
No, not Lenny Kravitz.
Jack Bauer?
Like Jack Bauer from 24.
Huh?
You know how in the early days of 24, if there was a problem somewhere in the country, they'd go, there's only one person that can fix this, Jack Bauer, he'll get on this. You're like our modern-day Jack Bauer to
I'm
me.
Too loud to be him, didn't he?
Yeah, he was very subdued.
All the time.
Or Jimmy Stewart on Rear Window.
Oh, good call, man.
All right.
Yeah, that's a great
very
call.
Very observant.
Right. Very good
call.
Well,
I did another thing last night.
What'd you do?
It was more of a neighbor... It wasn't really a neighborhood watch. It was more of a neighborly thing.
Yeah.
Took Kona for a walk, and I saw another dog owner across the street. And he was saying,
Kona is Wendy's dog, by the way.
My
for people
puppy,
who are
yeah.
new, Kona is Wendy's dog, not a child that's been separated from his parents, which seems to be happening a lot lately. Please go ahead.
These poor children. Don't
no,
get me
I know.
Started on
I
that. Because talk about psychological trauma.
I know.
Oh, my God.
We'll have time for that.
So, yes, you're right. I did not get rid of the puppy, or he didn't go with anyone else. I'm walking him, and he saw a rabbit, so he's really pulling, and I'm trying to get him to sit and watch me like he does in class, but when there's a rabbit, all bets are off.
Yeah.
So there's a guy across the street with his dog, and he goes, oh, he just wants to have fun. That's a puppy. And I said, how could you tell? Because he's not listening. So he goes, can my dog say hi? And I said, yeah. Why are you rolling your eyes?
Because I've been
dog lovers love dog lovers.
I've been in situations where I've nearly been attacked by dogs, where dogs have come, like big monster Cujo type dogs have come bounding out of their house toward me, and their owners have gone, oh, Philip just likes to have fun. You know, he's just having fun. That just means he likes you, as he's deciding which of my limbs to bite off.
Well,
that
mine
just
was
means
on a
he
leash.
Likes you.
I mean, everybody right. was leashed.
So that's not bad, but owners have this way, no matter how ferocious their dog is, of they think all they need to say is, he's just having fun with you. It's just his way of saying hello, as they're, like, deciding how quickly to kill you.
Okay, well, that's not this situation, because my dog just wasn't listening to me, and he was making a point of saying, that must be a puppy. He's not listening. He just wants to have fun and chase the rabbit.
Yeah.
So he's like, can we visit? I said, sure. Is your dog friendly? Oh, yeah, totally. And so this guy rolls up with his dog. He was in a wheelchair walking his dog, and they played and everything. And all of a sudden, there's this little container or case, I guess, on the ground. And he goes, did you drop something? I said, no. And he said, oh, what is it? He picks it up, and there's a state ID card in it. And there's no money, no phone. It was a phone case with just a state ID card. So I said, oh, is it nearby? I'll go drop it off. And he's like, I don't know. I can't see. It's too dark. So I'm trying to wrestle with the puppy and my beer. And I got my flashlight on my phone. And I
Now the story gets good.
Yeah.
Dog walk. You I just take a beer.
Steve, right. I just assume.
I still need to be told.
Yeah. Yep. I just assumed there was some alcoholic beverage involved. I wasn't sure which one.
It was a Corona night. Come on.
All right.
What's tonight?
Low and raw.
Here's
Let it be low and raw. Yeah.
So I'm trying to juggle the beer and the dog
Sometimes
and my
phone.
Sometimes
the foil gets in your mouth.
Yep.
I hate when that happens, especially if you have fillings. So I get my flashlight out and I look, and it's like four blocks away. And this, I said, well, I can go drop it off. And the guy goes, well, I can do it. And he's in a wheelchair. I'm not going to make him go 5 blocks away.
Right.
So I said, no, absolutely no problem. So I go drop the dog off because I'm not going to get very far with the dog.
Yeah.
I look, and like I said, it's about 5 blocks away. And I go, and I look at the name, and I look at the address, and it's an apartment. And I see the same name on the mailbox. Ring, nothing. Ring, nothing. One more for good luck, nothing. And so I'm flummoxed because I don't know what to do with it.
Sure.
I don't want to just leave it in front of his house.
Right.
The exterior door was locked. I didn't know what to do. Do I put it on the windowsill?
Please tell us that you didn't break into this person's house.
No.
Please.
Did you put it in the mailbox?
The mailbox was in the inner door, so there was no way I could do this.
On Jose Cuervo night, she might have.
But not on this particular night.
Or Ham's Thursday.
Was there enough space in the lower fold of the door where you could... There was not.
No, okay. And it was a pretty thick leather phone case with, might I just add, just an ID card in it.
Yeah.
So then I thought, you know, I'm just going to... I propped it up against the door.
Sure.
I know it's probably stupid.
No, it seems right.
Somebody's, you know, the mailman's going to take it, but I just propped it very gently against the door, tried to make it blend in with the door.
Right.
And as I'm walking to my car, some guy comes walking out of the back of the apartment building. And he looked kind of quizzically at me, like, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
So I said the guy's name. Are you Jonathan? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, I found your ID.
Yeah.
And I said... My kids have me worried because if you had any credit cards or money in this, my kid said, you're going to think I took it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I didn't have any money in it. It was just my ID card. And I said, what about your phone? And he goes, I'm on it right now trying to call about my ID card.
Yes. So in this scenario, you would have stolen his money and credit cards but returned his ID to his home?
Yeah, because it's a hassle to get, you know, your new ID or license.
Yeah, but somebody who was in the business of stealing things wouldn't then return it to his home.
That's like putting the knife back in the drawer after the murder.
Right. Well, you wash it first.
Listen, I was using this the other day, and I just thought I'd bring it back.
I know how to wipe my fingerprints off of things.
All right.
But I just felt kind of funny. He goes, oh, no, I had no money. And I said, what about the phone in the phone case? And he pointed to what he was calling on.
Yes.
And he goes, did you find it by the post office? I said, no, I found it by the library.
Uh-huh.
So then I thought, you know, I've done my job. And he just said, thank you so much. You saved me so much anxiety. And I said, well, that's a good thing because we all have too much of it. See you later. But he didn't even ask for my name. He didn't. I mean,
he said thank you.
He did say thank you. But it was just kind of like if somebody said that, I'd be like, what's your name? Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But it was just I don't know.
What would he have done with your name?
Just to say thank you.
Probably called the local paper and said,
"No, but
hometown hero saves the day," that sort of thing.
I guess it was just, but he said I saved him anxiety, so
you
it's
did.
Worth,
I'm sure
it's worth
you
a
did.
Thank you, Wendy.
Really? Would that have made it better?
Yeah,
if
it would have made me feel better.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you're doing a good deed and not in wanting more than
I didn't really want more. I just was kind of surprised. But then my husband said, Wendy, you will talk to anyone, so of course you will say, what's your name? Where's your address? Oh, hey, can we go out to lunch? Can I take you to lunch?
I think if someone showed up at my door with my ID... I would be very grateful, but I don't think
he was very grateful.
He said,
I'm not denying that.
He gave you a thank you.
He did.
You.
I just,
that's not
you
a
know,
lot.
I thought I felt I did a good deed.
Hey, well, it's Corona night.
Maybe he thought you were going to ask him out.
Yeah. Did you have that passionate look in your eye that you usually have when you return?
He was a fine-looking gentleman.
Yeah.
There you go.
dressed very nicely at 9:30 at night, I might add.
Do you know where he lives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give the address out.
Why?
So others.
You looking for a date?
Name?
What are, Bob?
Jonathan. You said.
Oh, that's all I'll say.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But I just
so
thought
you
I
walked
did a
five
good...
blocks.
No, I drove.
Oh, okay.
I finished my beer and then I drove.
Oh, thankful.
Corona night was over.
I didn't know where it was. I only had one beer, guys. It was a summer night.
Yeah.
We didn't have any limes, so I was bummed.
Yeah.
But I did a good deed there.
You sure did. I think you're done for the rest of the year now.
Well, if I can, just use your name and say, Wendy, good job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just me. I like to personalize things a little bit.
This neighborhood watch is working for you.
Yes.
It's always with the dog, too. It's always walking the puppy Kona.
You guys solve crimes together. That's
Kona and Company.
Kona and McGraw.
All right.
All right. A quick break. And then more problems solved. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
As I mentioned, I am Wendy Snyder, pet owner. and I love animals, but I'm starting to hate birds.
What happened?
Let Kona out in the backyard this morning, and honest to God, this has never happened to me before in my life. I was attacked by three robins.
Uh-huh.
Ventura.
Baumgarten.
Robin Rock.
Yeah.
All right.
From the light.
Yes.
Yep.
I, honest to God, it was like the birds. My hair, they got in my hair, their claw landed.
They physically
landed.
Touched
yes.
you?
And then Kona's going crazy because there are like four male robins, robin redbreasts, just going crazy, chirping and dive bombing the dog. So he's having a blast. I literally had to protect myself and run in the house.
Wasn't it the red-winged blackbirds?
No, these were robins.
Really? Wow.
And I found out my neighbor's house has a nest in the gutter right by our back door.
So they thought you were endangering the nest.
Yeah, I'm not going to hurt them. I'm an animal lover.
Yeah.
Wendy Snyder, animal
right.
lover.
You have to say that out loud when you see birds coming at you. You
let
have to announce
you,
that.
Let me ask you this. Were you wearing VO5?
No. Alberto VO5?
No.
Nothing? Okay,
but I was wearing Aquanet, so maybe they...
Maybe that's
what was
it.
The Rulalenska one? I think they like the Rulalenska one, too.
That was Alberta VO5, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. I'm Rulalenska.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is that Lena Horne? I get them confused.
Hybrid of the two.
I'm Lena Horne.
So as they're coming at you, you're obviously afraid for your life.
Yeah, I was
and
hitting away. I was hitting them away, but I have a claw mark on my hand.
Oh, no, now it's getting serious.
I'm not kidding you. It's so tiny.
I was going to say, these are the robins with claws?
Yes.
Well, what are they? Yeah, they have little bird feet with...
Yeah.
What do you think? They had toenails? I don't know. Foot nails? I don't know.
Now let's look at the divot.
Look at it. It's not bad, but look at that little...
No, that's a mark. You got a mark there.
Wendy, you better not take any more days off.
What? This was this morning.
Oh, that was this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It ties in somehow. We don't know how, but maybe you're so well rested that birds are jealous of you.
And how come there are four robins attacking me when there's only one nest? Do they...
Oh, good question.
Are there four dads? Do we have to call Maury Povich and find out who your
birdie
is the
real dad?
We live in different times.
Yeah.
I guess.
The old days, Steve, one bird would attack you, but now they come out in a group.
Yeah, but the mom was the one sitting on the nest.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have the red breast.
Can I ask how you know the genders of the birds?
Like I said, the girl robins, the females, they're kind of brownish. They don't have the red breast like the males do, which is typically the case. That's why human women wear makeup, because
more ornate?
Because in nature, the females are always really drab. Have you seen the mallard ducks where the peacocks and peahens?
Yeah.
Thought I was going to say something
it's
else.
That's just not right.
So that's why we
you just upset Mary with this.
Well, that's why we wear makeup, because it's like, you know,
is that
all through
why?
Nature.
So are you saying men are naturally better looking?
No.
Not better looking, but...
You guys should do better, honestly.
Yeah, we should.
You're supposed to attract us with your red breasts.
So why wouldn't it be the opposite? Why wouldn't nature make it as such that the women are just naturally more...
Are you really asking? You really don't know the answer?
I don't know the answer
because
to that.
The camouflage. They're sitting on the nest. They're brown. You can't see them. You got a big red breast coming at you. You're going to say, hey, Stormy Daniels.
Oh, no.
Who might be our next president?
So, wait, what's your degree of confidence with this whole camouflage thing?
Why are you saying this?
Well, it sounds really good, though.
It makes sense. I'd never heard that before.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a known fact.
Yes. I worked at Brookfield Zoo for many years.
I thought it was because the men are competing for the women.
That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought,
I think,
Steve.
It is a twofold thing, because even female lions, they're mainly on the plains.
Now you're thinking of Eliza Doolittle. Now you're thinking of Broadway shows.
The rain in Spain. No, the female lions are sand-colored because they're usually in the plains and the desert, and they can't be spotted as much as that big mane that a male has.
Yeah, but that's so they can eat things.
The lions.
So the lions can sneak up on other animals and eat them. That's why they're that color. They have no predators, the lions, do they?
I don't know that they do.
Except for those four robins in the Grange.
They were really bad. But yeah, almost, I mean, look up any species, and the female is...
It's more plain.
Yes, to blend in with the surroundings.
Yeah, and this also applies to us, huh?
Well, no.
Well, didn't you throw us in with
that?
I thought you did say that.
That's why we put makeup on, because we're sick of, in nature, the females are the plain Janes. Oh. We don't want to be that.
All right. And are humans the only female that applies makeup? I can't think of another animal offhand. Can you?
Some poodles put nail polish on.
That's few and far between.
And they don't do it themselves. Not the,
no, they never. They go to a spa.
A spa.
Right. That's more acceptable. Now, are you going to live in fear every time you go outside by your house that these birds are going to come back for more vengeance?
No, I'm hoping my neighbor's listening right now so she can hit the nest down. Although, I got to be honest with you, I wouldn't hit the nest down either, so I don't know what to do
inhumane.
About it.
That's inhumane.
I would go to spray net. Try spray net.
I think it was early in the morning, and I think that's...
Bridget Carey works for Spray Net, Steve. We can have her take care of this. She'll fix this.
I think I went out later, and it was fine. But, you know, first thing in the morning, it's pretty quiet out there, and all of a sudden,
coming
it's
with
6
a dog.
O'clock in the morning, and maybe they thought I was going to... Heard it.
Upset the nest.
I just love that the animal lover suggested knocking down the
right.
nest.
Well, no.
You got to get a baseball bat.
Honestly,
you got to get a Louisville slugger and take care of business.
Thank you,
Buford Pusser.
We've had nests in our... I have a wreath on the front porch.
Yeah.
And a bird every year, a robin, and they're very mean and very protective, which is good, I guess, for their babies.
Yeah.
They made a nest on top of the wreath. It's like a grapevine wreath that I put flowers on, and they made a nest on the top. So there's bird... splatters all over, and I'm like, I can't have that happen.
Yeah.
So I took the wreath down and saw there were no eggs in there, and I just destroyed it.
Oh.
Because if there were eggs, I wouldn't have touched it.
Yeah.
So what time of year did you do this?
At Christmas time, Steve.
No.
No?
The wreath's up there year-round. It's got spring flowers on it.
Oh.
I don't know. It was probably this time of the year. They had built the nest, and I'm sorry they put all the trouble into it, but there were no eggs.
It's terrible.
No, it isn't. And then I looked online, and they said to put a plastic dragon or some kind of thing to scare the birds away so they won't come back.
Uh-huh.
And Jimmy Mack had a broken-armed Watto from the Star Wars action figures, which looks kind of...
dragony.
A little dragony.
Yeah.
I put them up there 3 years ago. We've never had a bird's nest again.
Oh, how about that?
So I wouldn't destroy
this could
the
be
nest.
A side business for you. Just selling slightly used Wattos.
Well, he had a broken arm. There's nothing else. And Jim had him on one of the display shelves. And I'm like, really? He doesn't look right there.
Yeah.
So now he's on the wreath.
Good purpose. You're serving a good purpose with it.
It really works.
All right. We must take a break. And then we'll get you some news. And then there's more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill left. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, believe me when I tell you that what I'm about to share with you, I'm not trying to one-up you. You've had quite a morning.
It's fine.
You're all right now?
Although if my hair looks like a bird nested in it.
Your hair's never looked better.
I did want more volume.
Yeah.
So good.
So in a weird way, this worked out to your benefit, being attacked by crazed robins. I'm now at the stage in my life, you know, I'm in my mid-30s now, and I'm at the stage in my life where... things happen, and I'm afraid that they could kill me, because in my life I've heard so many stories about a guy. You'll hear a story about a guy who had a small itch on his elbow, and he goes, "That's just an itch on my elbow. That's no big deal." And then the next day he died, and people go, "Oh, if only he had had that looked at, everything would be okay." I'm at that stage right now where small things happen, and I say to myself, "Is this something that could potentially kill me?" Listen to what happened yesterday. I was at the health club, and I'm working out. I'm hoping to be in these Olympics at some point, so I'm working out like a madman.
For ping pong?
Yeah. I'll be in the ping pong Olympics.
You're mid-30s?
No. There's no such thing as too old to be in the Olympics.
All right. Especially for ping pong.
Yeah. So I'm lifting weights, and in the part of the weight room that I'm in, they've got foam rubber on the floor, because a lot of these bigger weightlifters, guys that are even bigger than me, they like to drop the weights.
That is so for show.
I think it is too. I don't tell them that. I applaud. Hey, sir. First of all, great lift. Second of all, very effective finish with the dropping of the weights. Enjoyed
you
it immensely.
After you've landed, right? Because you bounce up in the air when the weights hit the ground.
Yeah, the whole building shakes when that happens.
But do you notice every time they drop them, they put their arms up like they've been on a televised competition for the strongman?
Yeah. There was a guy, a Russian lifter named Vasily Alexei, years ago. Do you remember Vasily Alexei? He always made a big deal. Like, the lift was a big deal, but it was the drop that he would grunt, as he would drop the weights and walk away, like, I did that.
That's like their touchdown dance.
Yeah. It's
it
exactly,
really
it's
is.
Excessive celebrating after they've lifted the weights.
You should be fine.
All right, so our gym has, by those weights, by the free weights, as we call them in the business, a foam rubber coating on the floor so that when they're dropped, it'll be a minimum impact, you know? But what happens is that in the places that are the busiest, it starts to erode a little bit. The foam rubber becomes a little loose and sometimes tears away from what's on the ground. Not often, but every once in a while, you'll see little specks of like blackish gray foam rubber. So I'm lifting weights yesterday, and I do this thing where I've got weights in each hand, and I alternate, and I lift them up in the air, right? And when I lift one of them up in the air, a small piece of foam rubber, I can't even, a third of an inch.
Like a Tic Tac size?
Smaller than a Tic Tac, but not as minty delicious. I've learned from experience. So it's on my weight, and it drops, and I slowly watch it fall. It was like life was in slow motion. It falls, and it falls right into my eye.
Oh, my God.
And it burns right away.
Yeah.
So I put the weights down. I say,
did
fellas.
Did you drop them?
No. I'm the most gentleman of the weightlifters by far. So I say, gentlemen, panic mode. And I leave, and I go to the water fountain to flush my eye out to try to get this little piece of like foam rubber out, and I can't. I'm doing everything, and I don't wear contact lens, but I always say to myself, if I needed contact lens, I wouldn't wear them because I'd be so afraid that it would go to the back part of my eye.
I know, I have that same fear.
Ah.
Although so many people wear them every day, and that, you know, it's not that hard to get out.
It isn't?
No, because
if it's in the
slide.
Back part of your head,
I think some just go back there and you just get new ones.
Oh. They
no,
just stay back
get
there?
Get them out.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Do they dissolve at some point?
No.
They just
contact wearers.
They just stay in the back of your head?
No, you got to get them out. If you can't, usually you can kind of maneuver it and it'll eventually work its way. You know how when you have dirt in your eye, it works its way to the corner of your eye?
Yeah.
You don't just leave them in there.
No, you have to get them out.
You have to, right?
You get a terrible eye infection.
I've worn contacts since I was 12 years old.
Have they ever gone to the back of your eye?
They just go way to the corner a lot.
But you can reach it.
The ones they make now, gas permeable, semi-soft, whatever soft, I mean, they usually come out pretty good.
You will find that there are people who die with contacts behind their eyeballs.
I bet there's some people who have done that.
County coroner, please call us 312-981-7200. Funeral directors?
It's inevitable, though, with so many people wearing them, that at some point, somebody's had it go all the way to the back of their head.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh. I'd be shocked if that wasn't the case. But now I've got this piece of foam rubber in the back of my head, and it's not coming to the front. I tried at the health club for 20 minutes.
It's burning and scratching.
It's not burning and scratching. It just feels, odd.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because it's much bigger. Yeah.
Can you tell us what happened? We got to take a break.
All right.
We just got another.
All right. We'll do that. We'll do a quick break and then more of this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Good rebound.
Thank you.
Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Any other day, Wendy, I could laugh along with that, but not today. It's too painful. Yesterday, while lifting weights, I got a piece of foam rubber in my eye. It's a standard problem. Anybody who lifts weights knows what it feels like. It's awful, Wendy. But now, here's the weird twist. This happened in my left eye, and then I went to sleep, and I could feel it all day. Like afterwards, like all day, I could feel it. It's moving around back of my head. So I went to sleep, and then I woke up this morning, and I feel it in my right eye, not my left eye.
Oh, my God.
And my wife said, that's impossible.
It is impossible.
Once it's on one eye, but who knows what's going on in my head. There could be all kinds of things in there. Paper clips, pencils.
Yeah, and it was just, like, hidden, and now it exacerbated the problem.
Could be.
Everything's connected, though.
Right.
You know, your eye membranes and your sinuses and your nose and your ears and your throat.
So it's possible it could have switched eyes.
No, it's not
it's
possible.
It's not possible?
Though.
I thought it was.
No.
You probably just scratched it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
With the foam rubber, but it's out now.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Janice is on the line. Hi, Janice.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I got foam rubber in my eye, Janice. I'm not going to pull any punches.
Well, I don't think it can move eyes.
It can't be in both eyes?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I had a contact lens go to the back of my eye. I jumped a fence, and there was a wire above it.
What, were the cops chasing you?
Pardon me?
Were the police chasing
you? If you don't want to say why you had to jump a fence, you don't need to tell us.
I was happy.
All right.
Well, I thought I lost it, and I got a new lens. And several months later, my eye kept swelling, and I couldn't figure out why. And I went to the doctor, and my lens was stuck in the back of my eye, and I didn't know it.
But he had to get it out. It's not like you would just leave it there.
Well, it was there for several months.
Until
the doctor found it.
How did they eventually get it out?
He gave me a sedative, and then he pulled it out.
Whoa. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
It was kind of gross because there was, you know, mucus around it and stuff.
You're making me hungry.
Enjoy your eggs, everyone. did it hurt, or it just got swollen?
Well, it started hurting after a while. It didn't bother me. I just got the new lens, and I didn't have any problems until, you know, several months later when it started to really bother me.
Oh, no.
So it's possible for it to get stuck back there.
What sort of a doctor has to remove something from the back of your eye?
An ophthalmologist.
A licensed ophthalmologist.
An eye doctor.
An eye doctor. Because Terry said I could just go to, like, Four Eyes or something, and they would do it.
If they have a doctor.
No. All right.
And you can get a new pair of glasses.
Nope.
Janice, we're glad you're better. I can't stand the echo. And now I'm still here. Do you still hear the echo? It's through the phone line.
Yeah.
How come we got to the studio on Monday and there were no issues really whatsoever?
And every day brings
And yesterday
new...
was sort of okay. The intercom wasn't working. Today, everything's going awry.
I don't know.
And I wanted wheat. Barb is on the line. Let's see if we get a
hello.
Barb, what do you know about this?
Hey, I wear... two contact lenses in each eye. It's called piggyback. And occasionally, if I sneeze hard enough, the hard lens will go to the back of my eye.
Oh, no.
But it's okay because I have a little plunger, and the little plunger takes it out. So you can't lose it permanently. It's not like your eye is a big cavern and it goes down somewhere. You know, it's going to be stuck back there. And it's a good thing you, if it happens again, you go to a regular ophthalmologist because in case there's an infection or a little scratch in your eye, you know, the people at Four Eyes couldn't fix that for you.
No, but I go to a Pearle Vision Center and they have a doctor there. And that, as long as there's an ophthalmologist, not an optometrist, you want an ophthalmologist. And he could scratch his cornea. I mean, it's something if your vision is blurred or if it's still bugging you. I don't know. I might go.
Why
would you go, Wendy? It's in my eye.
I want to take your pain.
It's ridiculous.
You got to protect your eyes. I've had several eye surgeries and corneal transplants, and it's really something you got to protect.
So. All right.
Now, I have to ask you, Barb, is there any way you could just wear glasses and forego the piggyback contact thing, or you just prefer to not wear glasses?
No, I have a weird eye condition called keratoconus. And you can't wear, glasses won't correct your vision. It has to be something that's actually on your eye membrane. And, you know, I've had a complete corneal transplant and some other ones after that. So it's a weird condition. But, you know, gratefully with contact lenses and a good surgeon, I've got 20/20 on my eyes.
That's awesome.
But does this mean that one contact lens helps you with nearsightedness than the other with farsightedness? I don't know why there's two.
It actually is. My eyes are kind of bulgy. Let me explain it that way.
Yeah.
And so the soft lens kind of takes away some of that steepness, and the hard lens on top of it gives me the vision. So that's why they call it piggyback.
Oh, okay.
Boy, it's amazing the things they come up with to help you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. You know, I had my first surgery like 30 years ago. Nobody heard of it. And now there's more people with this condition, and they're actually, you know, correcting their vision and saving their vision.
That's good news.
You're a pioneer.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Barb.
You guys are a hope.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Barb.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Oh, that part about tearing part of my eye scares me. I don't want to do that. I use my eyes every day, Wendy. I need them. I can't.
Well, who's tearing your eye?
She said it could tear your cornea or your retina?
I said that it could scratch your cornea.
Oh, I thought Barb said that. No, I don't believe it.
Oh, it means more coming from Barb?
Yeah, if you say it, I don't believe it. But if she says it, I want to do something about it. I like the last, who was the caller before Barb when we asked her why she jumped a fence and she just said because I was happy and we didn't have a follow-up, there was no follow-up question to that. I guess if you're happy, you got to jump over a fence. That's the only way to show people that you're happy.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't. We looked at each other, and it's like, eh.
I'll think about that for all like the rest of the day. Now it's like, wait, just because you're happy, you don't just jump a fence. You're flirting with disaster by doing that.
Oh, great, Molly Hatchet reference.
All right.
You're
welcome.
That,
that's for you.
Speaking of music, can we give away some tickets?
Yes.
Can we do this now, Jazz?
Yes.
We have. I think this might be our last pair of tickets.
You said that Monday.
Yeah, but Gordon Lightfoot is coming into town, tried and true musician. We have a pair of tickets to see Gordon Lightfoot live in action. The show's called The Legend Lives On, and it's happening Sunday, September 16th at Copernicus Center right here in Chicago. You can hear hits like If You Could Read My Mind, Love.
I feel like I'm there.
What a
I feel like I'm watching
sail
them.
I don't know the
Keep
words.
Going.
I don't know. I know like the just the beginning of every stanza.
You know why? Because Gordon Lightfoot was always on those compilation CDs, like the,
yes.
you know, the best hits of the 80s, and then they would only play you half of a lyric, so that's
yeah.
why you only know that.
That the commercials?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Happy Day or something like that.
Right.
Hits from the 70s.
Right.
This is the, you know, mellow rock or
but
something.
But when he does them on his, in his stage show, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't do the whole song. Right?
I'm sure he's going
to. That's just a lyric.
In addition to If You Could Read My Mind, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, plus Gordon's own personal anecdotes and stories, and I'm sure he has a lot of them because he's been performing forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can get reserve tickets at CopernicusTickets.com, or you can be what number caller right now?
Caller 10.
312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Caller number 10. Bill, what do you love most about shaving with Harry's? Is it the amazing value? For a limited time only, new customers can save big on a Harry's shave set with the code word Bill, B-I-L-L, at harrys.com.
That's quite a coincidence, Wendy, because that's my name. So just think of my name when you go to harrys.com and save yourself some money. Get a five-blade razor, a weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3. Plus, they're going to throw in free shipping. They have fixed that by offering a simpler option, though, an exceptional quality shave at a fair price. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany where they grind steel into sharp, durable blades that are made to last, and that's what really matters most in a shave.
For a limited time only, Harry's has this great special offer going on for listeners of our show. New customers get a $5 off coupon. It's $5 off a shave set from Harry's. It's normally $8. You're getting $5 off, $3 from harrys.com. You just use code Bill, and that means you can get a starter set. It comes with a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, as Bill mentioned, all for just $3 and free shipping when you use code B-I-L-L at harrys.com.
So join the millions of guys and girls who have already switched and go to harrys.com today. Use code Bill at checkout and you can claim your offer.
And congratulations are in order. Jimmy from Hobart, Indiana is going to the Copernicus Center to see Gordon Lightfoot live in action Sunday, September 16th. If you don't have tickets or if you didn't win tickets, you can purchase some. Just go to CopernicusTickets.com.
Jimmy's so happy.
Happy Pride Month.
Jimmy's so happy he just jumped over a fence.
You gotta reset that, Jasmine.
Reset it, Jazz.
But it was worth it.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I know, I didn't understand the jumping over the fence thing. And
but
I,
we both looked at each other, we accepted it.
I know, but
well, you're happy, you're gonna jump over a fence. That's what you do.
That is not like us. Normally we are so quizzical.
No, that stopped us in our tracks.
You know why it was? Because the echo was going on.
Oh.
And we just wanted to, you know,
oh.
we didn't want to slight the conversation,
no,
but
that's
we
true.
Didn't want to keep it going.
All right, more show now.
All right, we ready?
Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. With summer upon us, I think this counts as public service. We want to help people. If you're thinking about taking a road trip, you're saying to yourself, I want to see something interesting. I want to put my family in the car and drive them and show them something interesting. I got a bunch of things in and around the United States where they can visit.
So not just Illinois?
Nope.
Because you know what I really want to see?
Hmm.
The giant catsup bottle.
That's the one I have for Illinois, Wendy. There's a giant bottle of ketchup. You know
that's
that, right?
That's the one, though?
That's the one they picked over at MSN as the most interesting roadside attraction for the state of Illinois.
Really,
the
not
giant
Starved Rock?
Ketchup bottle.
Metropolis with Superman?
No, here's what's strange. For some reason, because I looked at all 50 of these, we, the people of the United States, have this weird love of things that are big.
It is cool.
like if we see anything big, like remember when we were a kid, you'd drive around and sometimes you'd see a giant Paul Bunyan somewhere.
Yeah, holding a hot dog.
Sometimes he had a hot
dog.
Ogden
Avenue.
Yeah, right.
Cicero.
Yeah. Or sometimes there'd be like a giant dinosaur or a tire. Yeah. We just, there's something about us, either kids or adults, that when we see something that's oversized, we get excited. I don't know why.
Although I have to tell you, I also like miniature stuff, too.
Small? Do you like the smaller stuff?
I like both.
Yeah.
It's like, because it's so not the norm.
Right. Right. No, you're right. All right. So here you go. These are things all around the United States. MSN picked the top one for each state. We don't have time to do all 50. But in Alaska, Wendy, this goes back to what you were saying. Most of these do. The world's largest Santa. They have a 40-foot-tall Santa Claus that stands guard over the town of North Pole. There's a city in Alaska called North Pole, Alaska.
Wait, 4 foot tall?
42 foot
oh,
tall.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said 4 foot.
No,
that's not that big.
That wouldn't be that big.
It'd be like his boot.
Right. That attraction would close within minutes because people would go, I've got one of these. Why would I pay extra to see that? So go visit Alaska and see the world's largest Santa. It's very exciting. Did you know that the London Bridge...
is falling down?
Yes, it is. We need to do something about it. Toot sweet. They have a London Bridge in Arizona. If you don't want to go to England, because a lot of people are like, I don't want to go all the way to England to see the London Bridge. There's one now in Arizona.
Is it in Havu City, or what's the name of the town?
Lake Havasu.
Lake Havasu.
Yeah, how did you know that,
it's
Steve?
It's Havasu.
Is it Havasu?
Havasu.
Yeah.
Is it? I've always said Havasu, but I've never been there.
You're Bill.
Right. Right. There's a pronunciation guide that has my name.
It says London Bridge.
Right. Right. Colorado has the world's largest beetle.
George?
Wendy, he was big boned. Come on. Be nice. They have this giant beetle. His name is Herkimer.
Why?
What's his real name, Wendy?
Herkimer? A monster-sized West Indian Hercules beetle that tries to attract passersby. Well, they took a shot at this attraction. It tries to. Although they show the park where he is and nobody's there to look at it, so maybe they're right. He was the victim of a bit of vandalism back in his prime, so now he's locked behind a barbed wire fence, and they have 24-hour surveillance so that nobody comes and does harm to the world's largest beetle.
That's where it should be, behind a fence.
Yeah, yeah. Here's one in Delaware. It's the Fountain of Youth. I always thought it was in Florida. I was wrong. The Fountain of Youth is in Delaware, but it said, unfortunately, it has dried up. There's no more water in the Fountain of Youth.
Well, then that's kind of a bad tourist attraction.
Why would you go to see that? This is one. All right. Every year, you know this. When I was a kid, we went to Florida every year, right? We would drive one year, and then the next year we would fly. I don't know why my parents decided that, but that was the law. Drive a year, fly a year. Drive a year, fly a year. So when you would drive, you would see billboards for places, tourist attractions, like all through Georgia and Tennessee. There was Crystal Falls.
Yes.
Right? You saw all those,
yeah,
too.
The Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota.
Right, right. By the time you got to Florida, you'd start to see hundreds of billboards for a place called the Weeki Wachee Water Ballet.
Yeah.
Now, we never went to it.
We didn't either.
To every single one in Florida except for this one.
Why?
I don't know what my parents had against this one.
Was that inside Cypress Gardens?
I don't know if it was.
That too.
Was it inside, Steve, or was it a competitor to, maybe?
I don't know.
Boy, times have changed. When I drive down to Indiana, all I see are crazy Kaplan signs.
Yeah.
But it used to be something different.
Oh, yeah.
The whole way.
We went to Monkey Jungle. We went to Parrot Jungle. We went to, what was the name? They had some old, like, settler's town in Florida.
Settler Jungle?
Settler Jungle. Yes. And you could pet the settlers. They would get irritated by it. But, you know, for $8, you get to pet the settlers. You could pan for gold there, but I think it was fake. I'll be honest with you.
You do?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was fake. It says, the world-famous mermaids of Weeki Wachee. Oh, that was always the attraction you'd see on the billboards. They would get women that were not only incredible swimmers, but they could stay underwater for, like, minutes at a time.
Your parents didn't go there because they had two boys and they didn't want you to see the topless mermaids.
No, I remember the mermaids.
They looked very pretty on the billboards,
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It says that they have been putting on shows there since 1947.
Wow. In the days of Esther Williams.
Yeah. Yep.
That was very popular.
Yep. the performers have to pass a rigorous application and tryout process to be hailed an official mermaid. And once they make it,
they hand him a brick.
Right. Good luck. Good luck, ma'am. Once they make it, they must perform 3 15-minute shows per day.
That's
almost as much work as you
I
and
know,
I do.
Boy, we got, and we don't have to wear the stupid suit.
We don't have to. We choose to.
You do.
And I'm glad you do.
Bill's a merman.
Can't we just go with merperson? Haven't we advanced?
A merson.
A merson. Thank you very much. Thank you. In Georgia, they've got a giant peanut that looks like Jimmy Carter.
How long has that been there? Because I think I saw it.
It says in 1970, they erected it in 1976.
I think I saw it.
Usually erected is a use word with Bill Clinton, but this time it's for Jimmy Carter.
Especially a giant peanut.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to say peanut, quite honestly. Because I would have gone to see that roadside attraction.
It's a 13-foot peanut built to honor...
Every time!
Yeah. Yep.
Try it again.
Built to honor Jimmy Carter.
And what is it, a giant...
Giant peanut.
See, every time.
In Georgia. It looks like him. I mean, as much as, you know, a statue of a guy could look like a peanut, but it does.
It doesn't look like Mr. Peanut?
No. In Iowa, they have... In Idaho, this makes sense, the world's largest potato. And it's kept at the Spud Drive-In Theater, Wendy. Wouldn't you like to take your family to that?
Kind of.
A drive-in theater that honors the potato?
I kind of do.
That's a good time.
Do they serve french fries, I hope?
I hope they do. Although it would be the same weirdness. You know when you go to the aquarium and they serve seafood and you go, this is wrong? Why do you guys have fish on the menu at the aquarium?
Why do they? And who eats fish at an aquarium?
It's not, well,
shipping costs.
Right. It's so fresh.
I guess.
This is the freshest whitefish I've ever had. Idaho is known for its potatoes, it says, so it's no surprise that they have a giant replica of one somewhere in the state.
No,
oh, I
thought it's this really was, a
I
real
thought it,
one.
I wanted it to be a real potato. The thing that is so interesting, it says, about this particular Spud, which resides at a drive-in movie theater, is that they should show the movies on the potato. Wouldn't that be funny? Is that despite drawing in thousands of visitors, oh, take that, Disney World, thousands of visitors, it's not even the biggest potato or the largest potato or the heaviest potato, but they bill it as the largest. It's false advertising. In the potato game, Wendy, there's no honor.
Can I just tell you, a potato, big or small...
It's not
that
awe-inspiring.
Interesting to look at.
No, you would just look at it and go, yeah, that's
a potato.
Pretty big.
Now, Mr. Potato Head.
Now you got a show.
Yeah, just a potato.
That's not gonna excite anybody. Like kids now. All right, so there was a time in the country where you could show a kid almost anything and it would dazzle them. You know, you could just show them anything and the kid would go, oh, I've never seen anything like this. But a kid today, you show them a giant potato, they're going to burn a hole in you. They're going to just stare at you until you disintegrate.
But that's a potato. If you saw like a giant tube of toothpaste, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
I don't know where you'd put that.
I don't know.
Can we talk real quickly? Kate wants to talk about the mermaids,
yeah.
I believe. Hi, Kate.
Hey, how are you
What's
guys?
What's up, Kate?
I am like, I call you guys all the time, but
that's all right.
Because I relate to all of this. My parents, this was my first trip to Florida. The Weeki Waki Mermaid.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Bill, if you remember, but they used to have an animal safari drive where you would take your car.
Lion Country Safari.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
We never got to do any of these.
They do not have anything like that. And I remember my mom, you know, with the old video cameras and that, and she got it where the zebras were crossing by us and that, and one had bitten off the arse of another one.
Oh, no.
Yipes.
And the lions around and all that. But, I mean, I remember this to a T because it was our first family vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was 10 years old.
That's awesome. Thanks.
And you would drive your car through these winding roadways through a, you know, quote-unquote jungle, and there were the animals right there.
Yeah. I mean, lions, giraffes.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
That's pretty cool.
And now it's not there anymore.
Well, I don't know how good it was for those animals there. They probably got shut down.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing some memories with us, Kate. We appreciate it.
The animals, Wendy, were a little bored. Like when you'd see them in the on the billboards, they would be they look like they might lunge or pounce or something.
Well, yeah, but they're trying to sell it.
Yeah, but when you actually drove through,
didn't you see a lion yawning once and putting his paw up by his mouth?
A lion was yawning. There was an antelope doing a word search puzzle
with his legs crossed. Right.
Yeah, wearing a robe.
You got something to tell us?
I just did.
A robe.
Yeah, a small robe. All right, I was thinking about it because I said that when I was a kid and my family would go to Florida almost every summer, we would find all these kind of weird touristy attractions. We were going for Disney World, but then there were other side events that we got, you know, kind of roped into. The town where you would pan for gold was called Pirate World. It was near Miami. Yeah. For some reason in my head, I was remembering it as a Western theme, but it wasn't. It was a pirate theme. Did pirates also pan for gold?
Well, they didn't pan for gold. They just stole it from other people.
That was the theme there, is you'd go up to other tourists and you'd steal their things.
Hey, give me that.
Right. It was fun.
I guess a lot of fights. Now.
Yeah, there was a lot of fighting.
More than Chuck E. Cheese?
No, okay. Not as much as Chuck E. Cheese. That world's largest ketchup bottle that you mentioned is located in Collinsville, Illinois.
It's catsup.
Yeah, it is spelled that way. Uh-huh. You're right. It is 170 feet tall.
See, I'd look at that, wouldn't you?
For about 5 seconds.
I know, but still I'd be like, wow.
But I was like that at the Grand Canyon. We went to the Grand Canyon, and I looked at it, and I went, that's pretty big. And then I was done. There was nothing else to see.
You probably sucked to take a vacation with when you were a kid.
I wanted something more exciting.
But you were a kid, and you had seen the Bradys hiking and taking the burros,
yeah.
And you didn't do any of that, right?
No, we didn't hike or take a burro? Is that what you said?
Yeah, burro.
No. That giant hole that's in Indiana did the same thing for me. Like, if my parents would have taken me to that giant hole in Indiana and said that was the Grand Canyon, I would have been fine with that. It's just a hole.
I know, I mean, but I would like hole. To see it. I would be awestruck.
Would your kids be excited if you took them there? Would they be glad that you saw that?
I think they would like to just chalk it off as, wow, I've been up close and personal with the Grand Canyon.
That's what I thought I would feel like, but I didn't.
You don't appreciate anything.
You got to do bigger than the Grand Canyon to get my attention.
Dennis has called us. Hi, Dennis. How are you? We're talking about little roadside stops.
Yeah, I'm just driving through. I'm from Iowa. But in this little town of Strawberry Point, Iowa, about 500 people, there's a huge strawberry in the middle of the town.
And it's a real strawberry?
No!
No. Just a big old sign that's just a huge strawberry in this town of Strawberry, Iowa. A town of about 500.
How exciting is it? When you see it, do you get excited by it, Dennis? Or do you just go, yeah, that's good?
No. I just drive past her all the time.
But it's flat, right? It's a sign. It's not like a three-dimensional strawberry.
No, it's just like it looks exactly like a strawberry, only it's huge. Just a huge strawberry in the middle of the town that they paint.
Oh.
You know, it's just a decoration in the middle of the town.
Right.
Should have been their water tower.
Yeah. The ketchup bottle is their water tower, right?
It is?
I think it is. Well, Dennis, thank you.
Thanks, Dennis.
Yeah.
Take care. In Indiana, Wendy, you can see the world's largest ball of paint.
A paintball?
Yeah, who would want to see that?
No one?
I don't think...
I'd rather see a paint can, to be honest with you.
A large paint can, that's exciting.
Well, it's more so than a paintball.
Yeah, I don't understand why that would be a big deal. Iowa has Albert the Bull, which is the world's largest bull.
Is it real?
No. Most of these aren't. Most of these are just renderings.
I got to be honest with you. If you go down Ogden Avenue, like I said in Cicero, there's Henry's Hot Dogs with a decent-sized hot dog. And then across the street used to be Paul Bunyan holding a hot dog.
And that was fun.
That was more exciting than these things.
That was a lot of fun to see. Wasn't Paul Bunyan also, wasn't there a tire place?
They bought him. Yeah, they bought that one.
Oh.
And then there's the Indian. Is it on Pulaski on the southwest side?
By the cigar
store. American, yeah. And if an old boyfriend of mine said, if you stay at the proper angle, it's like, I don't know if his hand is at an angle where if you look at him from the side, it looks not like a hand.
Oh.
Very exciting.
I didn't know that. Wow. A friend of mine from grade school insists that his brother climbed it. He climbed to the top of it, but I don't think that you couldn't climb that, could you?
Well,
I don't think so.
Boy.
Yeah?
Is he Spider-Man?
Yeah. I left that part of the story out.
All right, we have to take a break. We're getting off early today because of White Sox baseball. Oh. So shall we take a break, come back, and do some news and
yeah.
such?
Yeah. All right. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
White Sox baseball coming your way against the Cleveland Indians.